The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, you know, we all want to look our best, and we all want to be well thought of, and I don't think that's abnormal. But it can become a real problem when we care so much more about what people think and what we look like than we do about our character. See, as Christians, believers in Christ, we are to be working with the Holy Spirit to become Christ-like in all of our ways. But there is such a push in our society today to look a certain way, to be a certain way. And so I've invited three friends in ministry, Women of God, Lisa Bevere, Holly Wagner, Robin Wilkerson, and we're going to talk to you today about the importance of developing character in what I think we can call an image-driven age.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to start with you, Holly, because you live in Hollywood.
Oh, you think we have a problem there? Really?
And just tell us a little bit about what you see.
Yeah, you know, there's a magazine, a popular magazine, and on the cover, it lists the 50 most beautiful people. And I remember hearing an interview with the editor of the magazine, and the person who was interviewing said, well, what makes these people the most beautiful? And the man said, it's obvious. And my question was, to whom?
Yeah, right.
Like, who sets up this standard
right.
of beauty that is unrealistic?
Yeah.
And then, I read this study that said that something like 70% of women, after looking at a fashion magazine for 3 minutes, think less about themselves. Think bad about themselves.
Right.
They're depressed. And the truth is, most of the photos in those magazines are fiction. I mean, and I know because I was one of them. When I moved to California, I was modeling and I was acting, and I would go on these shoots, and it would take hours for them to get my hair to look a certain way, and then what they would, you know, the tricks that they would do to your eyes, and then duct tape. They would pull things back and hold things. It was like fiction.
Oh my gosh.
Right. I mean, so it's not even real.
Yeah.
But yet, that's what we're trying to compare ourselves to. Mm-hmm. And so it becomes this never-ending cycle of trying to be like something that isn't even real. And so in my city, where so much of the industry there is, you know, the value is on how you look.
Right.
And that has created this culture that is incredibly unhealthy.
Right.
It's just treadmill that you'll never get off.
Eating disorders and just all kinds of things that are really hurting people. And, you know, let me say again, it's not that we don't want to take care of ourselves.
Right.
It's not that we don't want to look good. I firmly believe as Christians, and I think it is important as a Christian, to do your best, to look your best. I always say take what you have and do the most you can with it.
Right.
But first thing is don't compare yourself to somebody else.
Right. You'll never win if you keep doing that. Right.
Because all those people that are like one of the 50 most beautiful right now, they won't be in the magazine the next time.
No.
You know, because somebody else will come along, no matter what you can do well that you think pumps up your image, somebody else will come along that will be able to do it better than you. So I think it would be good today, because we live in this age that is so driven by social media.
Yeah.
Lisa, what do you think are some of the dangers that people can get into with an excessive dependence on that?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, the obvious comparison. We cannot escape it. It is a constant in your face. Look at me. Look how amazing I am. Look what I have. Look what you don't have. It's a constant comparison culture. But it's also creating a competition culture. There has never been more intimate access to people's lives without any relationship, without any context.
Exactly.
And so people look at it and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm a loser. What am I doing with my life? And without meaning to, it's actually really subjecting people, even Christians, to the influences of the world. You know, we read the scriptures where God says, you know, when you make yourself a friend to the world, you set yourself at enmity with me. And we think, well, what is friendship with the world? I mean, we're in the days of social justice. We want to be connected. We want to be aware. But there's a big difference between being a friend to the world and a friend with the world.
Yeah.
When I'm a friend to the world, I'm on the outside looking in, and I say, oh my gosh, people are hurting.
Right.
Because those same 100 most beautiful people, you know, the sad thing is, they don't even believe they're beautiful.
Yeah.
They know their position is slipping, and they don't have an eternal connection.
And a lot of them are not happy.
Yeah, they're not happy. That's all they have. They know maybe I am just this year. This was my 15 minutes of fame. And, you know, it's interesting because friendship with the world is measured by three things. It is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And those break down to wanting everything you see, wanting your own way, and wanting to appear important in the eyes of other people. And what we have right now is social media. People are saying, look at me, I have value, I'm important. And yet they're not doing the things that are actually going to create value. You mentioned character. Character doesn't happen with networking. Yeah. Character doesn't happen with branding. Mm-hmm. Character happens in the presence of God. Who I am in private is who I really am, not who I am on my public persona. And I think people are so busy being distracted by what everybody else is saying about them, they have forgotten what God says about them, what he values.
Like the comparison part. You know, I remember reading this, another article, and talking about, like, there's a certain group of Asian women who would have surgeries to put steel legs to lengthen their legs so they would be taller, as if taller is more beautiful.
Yeah, right.
And then people
and how
putting creams.
Painful that is.
Yeah, and then people putting cream on their skin to lighten it, as if lighter skin is more beautiful. It's like, who said so?
Yeah.
So we just live in this, and we fall for the lies. We fall for them.
And you know, so there's got to be a balance.
Yeah.
Because right here today, we're on a television broadcast, and you know, 80% of our brains are engaged in vision.
Right.
So just to even watch the show, we're looking at one another, and it's important that we're presenting ourselves in a relevant way, and in a way that people can see us and see us for who we are.
Right.
So we want to be attractive. We want to be beautiful. But even as Christian women, we can allow this outside beauty thing to take a hold of us in a way where it stops us from really pursuing the call of God in our lives. Because, I mean, I have friends who won't go to this or don't show up at that or maybe don't speak on a microphone or don't feel empowered because they're so disappointed with the way they look.
Mm-hmm.
We can allow appearance
to limit our lives.
To be something that is meant to be a liberation, where it's fun to have makeup. It's fun to connect with girls, you know?
Everybody better be glad I've got a little makeup.
Everybody is.
Yes, we're all glad.
I always tell people it takes a long time to get this looking this way.
Well, and to your point in the beginning, it's about being healthy. Do you know, it's not looking like a supermodel, it's about health. Mm-hmm. So being the best you, taking what you have and making it the best and being,
Let's get this into another little realm, you know, like, I think especially in the circles that we might deal with, and I'm sure there's business circles that are the same way, it seems like we love to count everything. Mm-hmm. How many people was at your service on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
How many people are on your Facebook page? Mm-hmm. How many books did you sell? You know, blah, 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 blah. And you know, a few years back, God told me, I want you to stop counting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Just stop counting it.
Yeah.
Because if the numbers were right, then I'd feel good.
Wow.
And if they weren't, then I didn't. And I'm not being silly, you know.
No, but it's tied to the wrong thing.
Sometimes you need to know certain number things, you know, just for good business practices. But, you know, there's a situation in the Bible where a king got in great trouble because he numbered the people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about that, why did he get in trouble for that? Because God was his strength and his source, not how many people he had. And I had a very interesting dream last night. I have a lot of crazy stuff, but I felt like there was something in this one. And, you know, really what we're talking about here today, the answer to all of this is do your best, but know who you are in Christ.
Right. There you go.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, because, I mean, I can tell you, no matter how good you look, you will get older, and you may still look good, but you're not going to look like you did.
Mm-hmm. And gravity affects all of us.
Gravity affects all of us. And so you have to know who you are in Christ. I mean, there's no such thing as feeling secure or confident if you don't know who you are in Christ. Mm-hmm. The only thing all this comparison stuff does is it makes you jealous of everybody.
That's right.
that has something you want, or you're used by the enemy to make them jealous of what you have. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm a vitamin person. I take nutrition, and so we've actually got this whole shelf of nutrition. So in my dream, I was looking at my nutrition, and one bottle was quite a bit larger than everything else. And I thought, wonder what that is. And I went to look, and it was a vitamin bottle that said on it, "In Christ."
Wow.
And
this was a dream?
Yeah, it was just a dream. It's just like another reminder that everything is good. You know, take all your vitamins, take your nutrition, comb your hair, color your hair, do whatever, but everything is in Christ. Yeah, our worth and value has to be in who we are in Christ. And I realize that maybe a lot of you don't even have a clue what I'm talking about. But you know what? And I hope I'm not out of line when I say this. Just stop talking about how many people are on your Facebook page. Yeah. And at least examine your motive in doing that. Why do I need to tell people that? What, you know, I'm basically here, unless I happen to accidentally hear it, I couldn't tell you. Because I don't want to have all that in my head. You mentioned the word relevant. We want to be relevant. So I'm going to say something. I'm going to let somebody take this. This is something God told me a couple months ago, and I'm going to put it in a teaching eventually, but I haven't yet, so nobody can steal it.
Wait, you heard it right now.
Yeah. He said, teach people. He said, it's good to be relevant to society so they don't think we're all just a bunch of weirdos and, you know, we can kind of meet them where they're at. But don't become so relevant to society that you become irrelevant to God.
Exactly.
Now, see, so that's the character thing. Yeah. So, Holly, tell us something.
Yeah, well, the pressure is to be so trendy and so cool that if that's where you put your focus, then you won't last the distance.
Right.
And so the work then becomes the character development. And character is not built on a new outfit.
No.
Or on Facebook.
On Facebook. It's not built by comparing. Character is built when you go through hard times.
Right.
And how do you behave in those? Character is built over years. Character is built when you've dealt with a betrayal and you work through forgiveness. Character is built when you're patient in a situation that you think should be speeded up. And so that's what's going to sustain you.
And character always shows up in how you treat people.
Always.
Always shows up in how you treat people. And to be honest, I believe that how we treat people is the number one most important thing to our Lord.
I think so.
What do you want to say?
I guess I'm thinking about the idea that with women and outside beauty and trying to be relevant and hip, the fact is that who we are on the inside is the greatest beauty treatment.
Right.
Because whoever we are inside comes out.
Comes out.
It's an inside job.
Yeah.
You know, people talk about, you know, I don't want to get wrinkles. Hey, if you're not sleeping, you're not eating, you're going to have wrinkles. You've got to have the peace of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You've got to rest in God. On the flip side, I don't think that we're more holy when we step outside of the norms and we make a point. You know, I was raised in church life where, you know, we don't smoke, we don't chew, we don't go with the boys that do,
we don't wear lipstick, we don't dance.
We're peculiar
really?
People.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And so even that became another kind of a way to trip us up.
Was it just as prideful?
As prideful. So
And people, by and large, people don't want that.
No.
I mean, they don't want to buy into something that's going to make them ugly, tell them they can't ever do anything, they can never have any fun. So we do need to be relevant. Our ministry has worked. You know, we looked at our crowds a few years ago, and everybody was my age.
Yeah.
Well, that's not healthy.
No.
You know, because I want to help young people. You know, I want to help older people. Mm-hmm. I want to help women. I want to help men. I want to help kids. Mm-hmm. And so we made some changes. Mm-hmm. But here's what I tell people. We changed our package, but we didn't change our message.
Absolutely.
And so, we changed our music. We got a little more hip music. I, you know, changed my clothes a little bit. Everything didn't have to be covered in rhinestones. I wear jeans once in a while. Yeah. You know, we've changed a few things, but really, and now we have all kinds of young people in our meetings.
Yeah.
And people sometimes, because I'm a woman, think I only minister to women. About 40% of our crowds are men.
Yeah.
And so all kinds of people come because what they should be there for is the Word, and the Word is never outdated, and it's the Word that helps us build image. Lisa.
You know, I love it when God speaks a profound truth in my life, and it was interesting to me. I was had just come back from Korea, and I was super, super tired, and I was falling asleep, and as I was drifting off, I heard the Holy Spirit say, I do not love my children equally. And I sat up. That's blasphemy.
You better explain.
You have
that
to
right
love
away.
Us all the same. You have to love us all the same. And he said, I don't. He said, same would mean one of you were replaceable. And he said, equal would mean my love could be measured. He said, I don't love my children equally. I love them uniquely. And he said, there is something that is unique about each and every one of my children that expresses my love to this earth and my love for them. Good. And so I looked up the word unique, and the first here we know is, you know, sole representative of, prototype, but then the third one is what I think our culture is warring against. It is without rival. There is no competition for Holly's place in God's heart, my place
That's
in
good,
God's
Lisa.
Heart.
That's very
None
good.
Of these women are rivals. God loving you doesn't come out of my bank account. God loves each and every one of us without rival. And the truth is the
That's
way we
good.
Look is the least representation of who we really are.
We had nothing to do with how
we have nothing.
Right.
Yeah, nothing to do with it. And of course we can improve it, but you are unique because you dressed. You're unique because God is a God without rival, and He creates us in a dynamic that is unique to this season and this time. And so when we begin to, I remember there was a scripture that, you know, that you and I love that says depersonalizing people into rivals. So then if I see Holly as a rival or Robin or you as a rival, then I will never get what I need in a relationship with you.
Right.
And God wants us to love one another.
You can't love somebody
that you're jealous of.
That you're jealous or competing
Imagine if
with.
We actually all functioned as one body.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
How amazing. Maybe we actually could see the planet redeemed.
Yeah. And God obviously loves variety.
Hello.
He doesn't want us all to be alike or look alike or act alike. I had an interesting thing happen the other day, since we're just telling interesting things. I'm a goal-oriented person, and you know, I've always got some project in my character that I'm trying to work on with the Holy Spirit. You know, I talk too much of this or that, you know. Not like unto condemnation, but that's, I mean, I just kind of like that, you know.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about something the other day that I've been kind of working with, you know, for a few years, and I'll do better for a while, and then I'm not so much better. And so I was thinking about something else that maybe I needed to do. And I distinctly heard the Lord speak in my heart, I like you the way you are. And I thought, and see, my husband tells me that all the time.
Yeah.
He'll say, I like your feisty personality.
Yeah.
I like your exaggeration. You know, I mean, he just thinks I am an absolute blast. Mm-hmm. And I know that for years I was just like, I had to be a nightmare for Dave. I say, the man must feel that he's been married to 20 different women.
But he probably thinks that's fun.
But you know what he said? You know what he said? And I loved every single one of them.
That's right, exactly.
That sounds
and see, and I don't mean that we don't want to work with God to change. Obviously, He's changing us all the time. Mm-hmm. But you know, the point is even while you still yet need change,
you're loved.
God still loves you.
Yeah.
And He...
And how about we love each other?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
It's like, I'm being formed into the image of Christ, right?
Right.
It's being formed. I ain't there yet.
Right.
So... Yeah. Why don't we give each other grace while we're on the journey?
And we need each other if we're going to grow.
Right.
And I think the way to do it, maybe someone's listening right now and they're thinking, I can't do that. But the simple way is to simply appreciate that person next to you. Honor them. Just come up with something nice to say.
Yes.
You know, I appreciate, I honor, you're awesome. And sometimes just that breakthrough gives people that new beginning, because character is something you can start over
people
every
so
day.
People so desperately want to feel accepted.
Yes.
I mean, so desperately. And you know what? Even when you smile at somebody, That's a sign that you accept them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
John Maxwell, I heard him say something a couple months ago, and boy, it's just one of those things that just stuck with me. He said, we need to learn to value people as they are, not the way we want them to be.
Right.
And think about that. See, God meets us where we're at.
Yeah.
He loves us as we are. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean, here again, that doesn't mean, you know, we're not talking about loving your sin or, you know, I mean, but I think that God can hate our sin and love us.
Yep. Absolutely.
Oh, you know.
Of course.
I mean,
yes, you're right.
He might not love the fact that sometimes I say things I shouldn't say, but he loves me. And I think the whole thing is if we can understand that God loves us, then that love changes us.
Yes. And it changes how we respond to other people.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't feel like we're struggling with each other all the time.
Right. Like, so I just think then there's no jealousy, there's no envy, there's purely support and encouragement. You know, imagine if we actually had with women in particular, let's just say we had a whole society of women who just cheered each other on.
Oh, women can be catty, can't they?
Yeah,
oh,
don't you think it's because there's like a pie and every woman doesn't feel like there's enough
room for
her?
That's my piece of the pie.
Yeah, and so if we begin to be women who make more space in our lives for the love of God, then we'll make more space in the lives of other people. And I do think we need to be intentional to dismantle this rival dynamic because, you know, the truth is when I had my firstborn son, I loved him so much and I wanted to have another baby. Then I got pregnant. I was like, wait a minute, I've got to share this love with this stranger baby. I don't know how I feel about this. I know I love this one. And they're completely different children.
Right.
And I love them both because they're different. And God feels the same way about each and every one of us. And so we should look at his children the same way. But I do think women are really in a season where they can change this because we have enough room for all of us to do what God created us to do. And you doing what God created you to do and you doing isn't taking it away from me.
It's needful. Yeah.
And women are naturally nurturing. And when we allow ourselves to let go of fear, and that's really what the conversation is about,
a fear
that there's,
that you're not
like
okay.
You said,
yeah.
I'm not good enough, God.
I'm not okay.
I'm not the church lady. Yeah. I'm not the right wife. I'm not the right daughter, the sister. And honestly, it's the fear factor that separates us from becoming the person that God designed us to be, because we hold back and we say, I'm not good enough, I can't do it, when in fact, we are good enough.
We are.
Somebody else can be an example to us, but they can't be our standard.
Right.
And
right.
One of the things that I had to learn before I could really make any progress, before God would bless our ministry with growth, it just had so much to do with so many things, was I had to learn to like me.
Mm. That's good.
I had to learn to love myself and stop wanting to be
like somebody else.
And I believe that a large majority of the problems that people have, and perhaps even some of you watching today, is, and there's so many problems that come out of this, I think that a lot of people just don't like themselves.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus says that you won't be able to love anybody else.
Right.
Right? He says, you love others the way you love yourself. And
that's
if you don't
exactly
love yourself, you won't be able to love other people in a healthy way.
And so he wants us to be uniquely, I love your word.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a good word because God had to teach me that. I always thought I was weird.
Yeah, and you compare.
You know, I thought, well, you know, my voice is weird. It's not sweet and soft and nice like other women. I don't like to sew and go to makeup parties. And you know, I didn't like that stuff. It was just like, I don't want to do that.
I think any of us.
You know, I wanted to go cast out a devil or something, you know. And I thought I was weird. And people would make you feel like you're weird. But God said, no, you're unique.
Yeah.
You're uniquely put together for what I want you to do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you are too. Mm-hmm. You know, I brought Holly, Lisa, and Robin on the show today because we want you to know. These girls came from Denver, from California, from Miami. I mean, it took some work to get all them here. And it's for you. Mm-hmm. We're here today for you. So you know that God loves you and that, you know, you may not be where you need to be yet, but thank God you're not where you used to be. That's the way I look at it, you know, and that while you're growing, God loves you and accepts you. You're made acceptable in the beloved. Yeah. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop trying to compete and compare and just learn to be the best you that you can possibly be. And as you do that, your character in Christ will begin to develop. He wants us to be Christ-like. And you can't develop good character if you're just overly focused on what you look like and what you're doing and what is everybody thinking of you. And so we always offer you the Word in different formats at the end of the program. I've been doing that for the 23 years I've been on TV and all the years I've been on radio, and I'll do that as long as I live. I don't apologize for it, because the Word of God is what is going to change your life. Right. There's nothing that you can invest your money in that's going to do you any more good than the Word of God. And today we're offering you a book called The Confident Woman, and that's just been a really popular book because we want to have confidence. And also, how to succeed at being yourself. That was a series of teachings that God gave me a long, long time ago. And I'll tell you, once you learn how to be you, I'm telling you what, the party starts.
That's awesome.
And so I want to encourage you that's four teaching CDs. And, you know, do yourself a favor and don't procrastinate. And maybe you know someone. Maybe you know someone that's really insecure and really struggles with being who they are, and they're constantly comparing themselves with other people. Why don't you make a little investment in their life and maybe get these resources for them? Give people the Word of God. It's the best gift that you can give them. Thank you so much for being with us today, and we pray for you in Jesus' name that this will be the beginning of you learning how to be the wonderful, amazing person that you are.
God designed you to be confident by understanding who you are in Christ. Discover the 7 secrets of a confident woman and learn how to overcome insecurity and self-doubt with Joyce's book, The Confident Woman, a New York Times #1 bestseller, and her 4 CD series, How to Succeed at Being Yourself. These resources are available for your gift of $30 or more. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org. The Bible, our instruction book for life. Spending time in God's Word will change our lives, but consistent and effective study can be challenging. That's one reason why Joyce is here to help. At joycemeyer.org/Bible study, you'll find ways to make your study time come to life with helpful resources, study suggestions, and encouragement from Joyce. Get the most you can studying God's Word with everyday study. Sign up today at joycemeyer.org/Bible study.
Thank you, friends and partners. Together, we're sharing the love of Christ around the world. To find out more, please contact us or visit us online at joycemeyer.org. Join us in partnership as we share the love of Christ around the globe.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.